I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Jim, good morning.
Good morning, Ken.
Do you want us to pull the wheel of dysfunction? Do you want us to take a rip for you there?
Absolutely. Please, I'm ready.
Away we go. Wheel of dysfunction. Okay, this one.
I thought I was going to get lose a turn.
You actually got left off. You got left off a little bit easy, even though it's a tough decision. Now, the game's close. He throws a pick. Kizer throws a pick to start off the second half. It's frustrating again. Would you have made the decision to go to Cody Kessler, who had sat on the bench all year and had not even dressed?
I don't think I would have. No, I think I thought that Deshaun was playing well. You know, in the first half, and then the unfortunate interception, which was really a bad throw. I mean, a really bad throw, guys, if you consider, you know, where it came, when it came, and the fact that they had no timeouts. He went deep down the middle of the field, you know, when you really have to work the sidelines there. But there's a mixed message in the whole thing, and that's what's going on right now. The mixed message is that, you know, there was all this talk at the beginning of the year when you went to Kizer that you were going to ride through days like this, that there were going to be days like this where, you know, he's a rookie quarterback and you're going to have to go through the rough times and you hope you have some good times and you're probably going to have more rough times than good times. And even in the game yesterday, there were some good plays and then all of a sudden there was the appearance of bad plays. But on the other side of the message is that you're 0-7, or you're on your way to 0-7, you're 0-6, and you've only won one game in the last year and a half. And I think that the coach is, you know, he's caught in this situation where he totally committed to a rookie quarterback and, you know, preached that he was going to go through every aspect of the growing pains with him, and it was going to be painful, and we certainly have seen it. But now, you know, he's trying to win a game that he thinks is winnable, because his defense is playing so well, and it's basically coming down to a game of field goals. You know, I just bought into the first message that we were going to ride with him throughout the entire year, and I got the fact that we sat him down for one game. But now I think that we're into a totally bizarre situation where we're going in and out and in and out with a bunch of quarterbacks, and it begs for a veteran quarterback to have been here in the first place.
I wish it was different, but it looks like the guy's coaching for his job right now. Does he seem desperate to you?
You know, after the game, it's you know, I was sitting in his interview room, and it's certainly even last week after the game in Houston, and I did get the impression that it was, you know, it's definitely bearing down on him, the fact that, you know, they just don't win, and I think that, yeah, I think that definitely, you know, that record, no matter how you take a look at it, and no matter how you paint it, that it's a long-term rebuilding project, at some point you got to start winning football games. And that's what he's coming out and saying, too. Hey, listen, we got to win football games. It's a result-oriented business. And he's right about that. And the fact of the matter is that his results right now aren't going his way. They're not going our way. And they're certainly not going the quarterback's ways. And it doesn't match up with what they're trying to do. They need to win football games. And right now he has a total dilemma at the most important position on the field at quarterback, and he's dealing with three very, very young quarterbacks in the first place. So, yeah, I do think that it is desperation time, Ken.
Jim Donovan, play-by-play voice of the Browns, joining us on the hotline. It would appear via social media, things like Snapchat and Instagram, things that Jim Donovan certainly loves, that you were the only person affiliated with the Browns that wasn't out on Friday night. Do you have a big problem with the fact the quarterback was spotted out and about socializing, being out on West 6th Street on a Friday 2 days before the game?
Well, you know, Anthony, I thought about it when it came out yesterday afternoon, and apparently it came out yesterday morning over on Channel 19 that, you know, there was the pictures of him or the video of him. Again, there's a mixed message in this thing. You know, Deshaun said all the proper things during the week about sitting down for the Houston game, learning from what he saw on the field, and then, you know, he came out, and I'm kind of paraphrasing, but I think he said, hey, listen, you know, you can talk about things, but now you have to do things out on the field. And I'm saying to myself, okay, well, this is what I would have expected from him, that, you know, he would take this next stage of his career after a one-game benching and get back in there and get back to work on becoming a better quarterback on Sundays. Now, then there was this, you know, meeting that he called with the players, you know, that he called, the offensive players, I guess, and spoke about what they had to do to start winning football games and how they had to be better in everything that they do. And then this comes out about Friday night. So I don't think it had a good look, you know, if you're into looks. I don't know what the context was. I don't know what the specifics were that, you know, where he was, what condition he was in at 1:30 in the morning. But it didn't have a good look when you match it up with everything that he had said during the week. And it's really, when you know, for Deshaun Kizer, I would think that you would have to look at it this way. Every one of his games when he was in college at Notre Dame was nationally televised. So everybody knows who he is. Now, that's the price you pay. That's the great part about playing there and in that kind of program, and that's the price you pay for playing in that kind of program that gets that kind of exposure. So I would think that he would have had to know that if he was out and he was at that hour, that somebody would recognize him and probably in this day and age pull out a phone and record something. So what he did on Friday night, I mean, was the game the next day? No, we weren't playing Saturday at 1:00. So under that specific, I mean, I don't have a problem with that. But with what he had said all week long and how he's been painted, you know, leading up to the whole decision to make them the starting quarterback, a guy that's in the building at 5:30, you know, and is the last to leave. This just didn't match up with what he had said and certainly what he had said last week.
Jim, also, he was the guy that actually, the 21-year-old rookie, was the guy that called the players-only meeting. Kenny and I were calling for one on Friday. I'm glad he did that. I just don't know how much currency he has with the players on a team. I think that's something that the veterans should have been doing. Are you a little surprised that it was?
You know, even before I even heard about the video, Anthony, I was surprised. It's almost like having an intern call a meeting, at a place that has a lot of people that are full time. I mean, yeah, I was surprised at it. And I'm not a big meeting guy. I'm not somebody, you know, when teams are having meetings, there obviously are some problems and there are some things going on that are not good. I mean, I don't mind that the coach has meetings, but a rookie quarterback that is returning to the starting lineup after ineffective play was the main reason why he got sat down in the first place. Yeah, I don't know how much water that holds when you get up in front of the group and address that you're the leader of the meeting. But in the first place, I'm not a big guy for, you know, I get worn out when I hear about teams having players-only meetings. But this one did kind of make me giggle a little bit that a rookie quarterback was the guy that called everybody in to have the meeting.
We saw the Joe Thomas injury. What went through your mind when Joe Thomas was down?
Well, you know, it seemed as though Deke knew it was bad right away. I mean, I saw him down, and when we identified who it was, Deke was, pretty explicit that did not have a good look to it. I had never really envisioned the Browns without Joe Thomas because he was such a fixture. So I never put a lot of time into it. Now, Doug used to tell me, you know, even this summer during training camp, he would say, you know, the Browns better get somebody ready at left tackle because this is, you know, leaning towards, you know, Joe's coming to an end of his career rather than a revival of his career, and he's going to pick up and keep on going. I think we're closer to the end than we are to him staying around for, 4 or 5 years. So, but I guess, you know, I was like everybody else. I mean, I was just hypnotized to the fact that Joe Thomas is at left tackle. But when I finally saw it without Joe Thomas, it was frightening. I mean, you know, they couldn't block the Tennessee front. They couldn't move the ball. Guys, I think in overtime, the official could have said, all right, for Cleveland, we're going to place the ball at the 50-yard line. First down, here you go. And I still don't think we would have been able to move the ball because at that point, they just couldn't do anything without Joe Thomas at left tackle. So, I mean, when he finally left and went off the field, I mean, it really was, the reality of it became, you know, really kind of frightening. I think that they were going to play without Joe Thomas. And then when it played out, it was going to be not a good look without Joe Thomas.
We couldn't help but speculate a little earlier. Jeff Thomas asked us this in the news dump about it because, you know, now he'll have a chance. This will probably be the end of the season, according to what we've seen with the reports. He has a chance to step back and really survey this. He'll be going into his 12th year. I think they finish probably somewhere in the neighborhood, I hope, 1-15, 2-14, somewhere there.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's a distinct possibility, and I want to see if you agree that we might have seen the end of it.
Well, you know, Ken, if they blow it up again, I think we might see the end of it. I think that there had to be a little bit of a sales pitch and a heart-to-heart with him even this last time. When they put this whole new regime together and Hugh came in as the head coach and Sashi and Paul DePodesta and Andrew Berry took over their new responsibilities. I still think that the first guy they had to go to was Joe Thomas and explain what they were doing. So I think he was sort of okay with that to the point that he came back. But yeah, I believe if we're in the range of one or two wins and they blow the whole thing up again, then I would think Joe would really take a long time, which I think he was going to do anyway, and take a look at his career and see if this was going to be worth going on with. I agree with you. I think that this will be a very, very interesting period of months now for Joe Thomas to decide what he's going to do, and he'll have his eye on what the Browns are going to do very keenly.
Jim, a couple of coaching decisions I want to talk to you about. One, people are going to think I'm crazy, but the other one, I think people are all in agreement. What was Hugh Jackson doing on that third down, declining the 15-yard penalty, and instead, obviously, they jump off sides on fourth and one? To me, it was obvious that Tennessee was going to go for it on fourth because they threw the ball, or they ran the ball on third. It was told me the way they attacked that play call. I'm sorry, they went up top on third, that they were going to, you know, try to get the first down on fourth down.
Oh, I totally agree. I mean, I didn't understand it at all, and I thought it became, you know, a very, very bad decision very quickly because there was, I mean, you know, you have to, I mean, when you take a look at them and you take a look at their tendencies, they're all about run anyway, whether it's Derrick Henry in the backfield or DeMarcus Murray, and they're very confident in their offensive line and their quarterback, but those two running backs, that they're going to get that distance that they had, which wasn't a lot, obviously. And I just thought that, you know, for Hugh to think that with those tendencies that they have and the power that they have in that running game and the field position that they were in anyway, that they were going to punt, I just, you know, against the team that was winless, I think that they didn't get it. But, Anthony, I think they were probably coming in saying, hey, let's go for an early knockout here today, put these guys behind and get this win and go to 4-3 on the year. Oh, it was a completely different script that they had to follow to get there. But, yeah, early in the game, I thought that was a very, very bad call by the coach to do that. And you know, then Danny Shelton jumped offside. But even if he didn't jump offside, they ran the play, and he had gotten the first down anyway.
Yeah,
and they're pretty significantly inside your territory, inside your end. So, I thought that was a really – really a bad decision at that point. I would have parked them back and make him throw, and hopefully you get some pressure on Mariota.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and they, if they have to, you know, if they have to punt, you know, so what? But, you know, to give them that first down like that with their power in the running game was a really, you know, wacko, wild decision and a bad one.
You also don't see very often these days in the NFL, even with the rule changes, you don't see any teams win the coin toss and elect to kick off. But I think I can make a pretty good argument that the Browns, given their offensive struggles, how well the defense was playing, and the fact that Joe Thomas wasn't out there and you were playing quarterback carousel, I think I can make a case that kicking off was the only way they could have won that game in overtime yesterday.
You know, I agree with you. I really do.
Wow.
I agree with you on that. I kind of agree with you on that. I think that that point, they needed a turnover. They needed field position. And, you know, you go back the year before, you know, when they had a in Miami, didn't they make a bad decision? Well, I'm trying to remember in that overtime game. I think they did kick off in that.
Yes.
I didn't agree with that at that time because the Browns were running the ball effectively that day for over 5 yards a carry, as I remember, on their average. But in this situation, I think you had enough time that you saw without Joe Thomas you were not moving the ball. And I think you hurt yourself because you were so deep in your own end that you know, and not going to get a first down because you just couldn't block that front. I can see what you're saying. You leave yourself wide open to a lot of criticism because you're not taking the ball, but you have to be what you are. And what you are at that point in time was a mangled offensive line that was not able to handle the pressure. And the best side of the football for the Browns was the defensive side. So I know that logic would say, no, you're giving them an opportunity to win. But I think you were giving them – I think that that led to the whole field position being tipped throughout the entire overtime. I think Tennessee just bided their time and waited, you know, to get a sack on Kessler and have Colquitt punt very, very deep, get a first down, maybe two, and then have that guy kick the field goal, and that's what happened.
Well, you're going to make things very difficult on me a little bit later on, and maybe even tomorrow too there, Jim. You know, you just did that. You just emboldened Lima arguing against
me. The worst thing you could do.
Oh, this slippery wizard's going to be in full force. All right, Jim, what are you going to do with Kenny Britt now? Because we know that DeShone Kizer was out and about. Okay, fine. Kenny Britt was out and about. So was Christian right. Kirksey. Well, Kenny Britt's been on quote-unquote thin ice. What are you doing with him?
Well, again, yesterday, I mean, I just think that you're at this point where, you know, how productive is he? He's not very productive. How much of a distraction is he? Weekly, almost daily, but certainly weekly. I think I would move on. I mean, I just don't see any place, any opportunity where he is helping you. And in fact, you know, I just don't know if he's a great influence to have around younger players. What is anybody learning from him? Just how to call Uber and so that you can get out? I mean, I don't see any upside to him right now. And the worst downside is the paycheck that he's collecting. There's no production on the field. I don't think it's all on injury. He just doesn't seem to be connected with the football team. He just doesn't seem to be, I mean, his actions, his attitude, his body language tell me he'd like to be anyplace else except here. I don't see any upside to him at all.
He looks like he's a guy who's going to work just because he needs the paycheck. That's it.
Yeah, and it's a good one. Yeah, you're right. And he also looks like a guy that if, you know, once he gets that paycheck, he turns to people maybe who are his friends outside of football and says, can you believe they're paying me this?
Oh, my God. Does this remind you of Dwayne Bowe and Mike Pettine with the front office there? Because I can't tell you. It's just got to be personal now. I mean, obviously, Hugh Jackson's upset. They've said they've had a talking with this guy.
Yeah.
This reminds me a whole lot of, well, you're going to sit, and I don't care because they signed you and I didn't want you.
Well, yeah. I mean, and, you know, the eerie thing, Ken, is it comes so close to the Dwayne Bowe situation. I mean, you know, that just happened. I mean, it's not like you can say, hey, remember 9 years ago when we brought that, the bad seed Dwayne Bowe in here and paid him an exorbitant amount of money and we got nothing out of him and he, you know, infected some of our younger players with a showing of bad attitude and bad habits. And remember how bad that was. But this was just a short time ago. And so to walk back in to that situation, it's you really scratch your head at that decision and how it was made and the person that they brought in here. But, you know, I just don't see anything positive in number 18 being out there on the field for the Browns.
Jim Donovan with us on the show. We're always running out of time because there's just so much to talk about. So who are you starting in London, real quick? Quarterback.
Boy, I have to tell you, I would say I think he will, I'm going to take a guess here, and go back to Kizer again. I think he will go back to Kizer again. I think that, I just think he's going to go back and say, you know, like I said, we're going to go through this thing, and I watched the tape, and it wasn't as bad, you know, as I thought it was immediately after the game. And I think he's going to go back there. That's what I think.
And if he does anything other than watching Parliament and the questions of the Prime Minister, I want him out of here, and I'm going to want to know a whole other front office, Jim. My God.
Okay.
Jim,
you got it.
Thank you for the time, my friend. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Take care.
The incomparable Jim Donovan joining us on the show.
So he agrees with me. Smart football guy. Understands that you got to kick off there.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road.
With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.